Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Can you believe it's the last day of October? Otherwise known as October 31st. And as listener Mary pointed out to me on Twitter, October 31st is Halloween. Oh, okay. Is that why we carved a pumpkin? Is that why I've been wearing orange everywhere? Yes, it is. It's Halloween, so happy Halloween to you. If you would like to laugh at producer Jay and I attempting to carve a pumpkin, well, there's a video. We promised it in honor of Halloween. I say skip that and just focus on our football frenzy and our Monday morning, manic Monday morning podcast, because it is our goal to hit every single game. We still have a few to go that we haven't yet covered. There is always some strategery to the way we do this. And then sometimes I realize I'm running out of time and we've got games to get to. So there's method to my madness. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. I suppose that could fit, right? For the NFL and what we've seen through almost 8 weeks. Is there more madness than method? Oh, for a lot of teams. And I guess sometimes that applies to live radio as well. Especially when we're talking about October weekends. There couldn't be more madness than method. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us as you get set to kick off yet another work week. And yes, launch forward into not just Halloween, but also the beginning of November. What? November? Is it going to be a no-shave November for those of you who sport facial hair? I know that's not all of you, but some of you. Aaron Rodgers may not be in the mood this year. He loves no-shave November, but he may not be in the mood. He and the Packers knew it was going to be tough sledding. Already on a three-game losing skid going into Orchard Park Sunday night against the Buffalo Bills, who were coming off a bye. Well, that would explain the energy they had right out of the locker room.
Singletary, the lone setback. Two receivers right side, two to the left. Josh takes, turns, wants to throw, play action, pumps once. Josh going to keep it himself. Now he fires into the end zone. Touchdown, Dawson Knox, touchdown, Buffalo. Now the Bills have the ball, second and one at the Green Bay 26. Josh takes a snap, going to throw, goes to the end zone, and this one is caught for a touchdown. Let's see. It is Stephon Diggs. It is a Buffalo touchdown.
It was already 24-7 at halftime. And so we knew the Bills were going to come out hot. It was just whether or not the Packers could withstand the flood. The fans, the electric atmosphere, national TV, and of course, coming off a bye, the Bills were rested and full of energy. So yeah, an early 14-0 lead, then a 24-7 lead at the break. And for some reason, the Packers continued to run the ball. Now, maybe it's because they were successful, but when are all running plays not created equal? Even when it's Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, and between the two of them, they racked up nearly 200 rushing yards. But rushing the ball takes time. That's more of a ball control game. I think it's a great idea for the Packers to establish the run right out of the gate. I think they're better when they run first as a team, especially because they've had so many injuries on their receiving core. I think it's a great idea. Run the ball. But not when you're trailing by three scores And for some reason, they kept doing it. And then there was the defense for Buffalo that had some big moments, stuffing Aaron Jones on fourth and one, also picking off Aaron Rodgers, a tipped ball that gets intercepted by Matt Milano. But maybe, just maybe, Buffalo was a tad out of sync in that second half. Still, we're seeing even the best teams in the NFL that don't quite put together 60 minutes of football. Maybe you could say the New Orleans Saints played almost 60 full minutes of football. Just as a side note, did you know the Raiders didn't even get into New Orleans territory until there were 2 minutes left in the game? I guess that's total domination. Anyway, back to the Bills. Certainly there are a couple of moments they'd like back in that second half. Two straight drives in which Josh Allen gets picked off. I remember late in the game, he overthrew his receiver. Receiver's wide open. He overthrows him when they were trying to convert to fourth down and keep the ball away from the Green Bay Packers. It came too little too late because Buffalo had this game well in hand. However, we did get to see Aaron Rodgers finally air things out. I guess if this is why you show up for Sunday Night Football, to see Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers air it out. Well, you got some of that late.
Rodgers takes, bootlegs to the right, has protection, waits, scrambles left. Now rainbows into the end zone.
Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown! Green Bay Packers, Samori Toure, the rookie.
All right, so that was the highlight, along with a Romeo Doubs fantastic catch. For the Packers, it's four straight losses. They were still down by 10 points, couldn't get the field goal. So what Buffalo did may not have been perfect in the second half, but it was enough. They did miss on that third down conversion that I mentioned, but they were able to take 4 minutes off the clock and essentially play keep away from Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay just long enough. So no, not perfect. But you'll take it because A, you protect the home field. B, now it's 6-1 coming out of the bye. You've got the most wins in the AFC.
We did some things tonight that were uncharacteristic of how we do things. And, you know, so we've got a week to get those things worked out here. And I mean, it's hard to win, and it's good to win whenever you do win. And so I don't want to overlook that. But there was a lot of things in tonight's game that that need work. It's a standard. It's a daily standard. And you know, there's a lot of areas where we didn't meet that expectation for ourselves tonight.
I like the fact that Sean McDermott and the Bills have a much higher standard than what it's been in the past. And that's certainly a product of this coaching regime and the success they've had and how close they've come and wanting to be able to take it to the next level and get to a Super Bowl to cap this 2022 season. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So yeah, he mentions a couple of moments, wasted opportunities, the two interceptions, and you wonder about the running of the ball late as well. Why bother throwing it? Instead, why not use the ball control game that the Packers were using and make sure that you keep it away from them even more? And so Josh Allen was asked about the concern, that's the word the reporter used, and not being able to run the football.
I don't really have a concern with that. I have a concern with making stupid decisions and closing out the game that way either. Things that I can do differently, obviously that changes the feeling and the outcome of that game, and obviously I have a crappy taste in my mouth right now. And I know we won. I'm happy that we won. Our defense played really well. Special teams played really well. I thought we ran the ball really well. There's a lot of positives.
There were. And a win is a win is a win is a win. But as I say, you know a team is making progress and has established a winning culture when winning is no longer the standard. It's the baseline, but it's not the standard. One more from the Bills locker room, and then we'll get the Packers' reaction. But Von Miller is always a hoot. And apparently, we're not the only ones who wondered why the Packers kept running the ball. Again, successfully, but why are you still running the ball when you've got to make up ground quickly?
I don't know. I don't know. I was taken back a little bit because I'm like, hey, I got to pass the ball, don't y'all? Like. you know, that's just me. You know, of course I want to get sacks and I want to rush the passer and I want to do all this stuff. So I was like, okay, they got to start passing the ball and got to start passing the ball. But nope. And I even asked him. I even asked Aaron Rodgers, like, on that 4th and 1, I was like, hey, y'all not going to drop back and pass the ball? You know, I'm not going to tell you what he said because that's my guy. I don't want to, you know, get anything started. But, you know, I was just, it was a shocker for me personally.
Oh, seriously. I would give up all of my Halloween candy. I would give up. I'll give you my cat. Nah, that would be terrible. Anyway, I'd give up a lot to know what Aaron Rodgers said in return. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, he has no Alan Lazard. Again, it's a revolving door there, receiver. They've had a ton of injuries, but he's the one who said if guys couldn't hack it, then maybe other guys should be getting reps. Ultimately, this was going to be an uphill climb. It turned into an avalanche in Buffalo, and this is 4 losses in a row.
That's kind of what's been going on with us, you know, throw a chest down to Bobby, get a penalty, come back, have a big kickoff return, have a penalty. Think we're getting all our guys back for a week and then somebody's out. So nobody feels sorry for us. We got to find a way to get one win. I feel like if we can just get one, then the whole momentum changes. I thought we had a great week of practice. The energy in the pregame, in the locker room was different. It felt like the Packers again. I feel like for whatever reason, we didn't have the confidence for a few weeks and weren't playing with a lot of energy, weren't amped up before the game. So I like the way we felt before the game. Maybe it was Sunday football. Maybe it was being counted out. Maybe it was this environment. But I like that's encouraging. But the play in the first half wasn't very encouraging.
And ultimately, the result is the same, a 4th consecutive loss. It's the first time under Matt LaFleur, obviously. Matt LaFleur, and hasn't happened a lot in this Aaron Rodgers era. And they've owned the NFC North. Right now, they are, get this, 3.5 games back of the Vikings, who extended their win streak. We'll talk about them before the bottom of the hour. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Want to go through the rest of the AFC East, though. Bills have got the most wins in the AFC. They're now 6-1, and they've had some impressive victories along the way. So you could say the Bills are the most complete team in the league right now, but they've got plenty of company in the AFC East. Patriots and Jets dueling at MetLife Stadium. Maybe dueling is too strong. Dueling at MetLife Stadium on Sunday afternoon, and the Jets were just hoping to end this streak of futility against Bill Belichick and the Pats. 2nd longest active streak in the NFL. 12 straight wins by the Patriots over the Jets to begin the day. And early on, the Jets actually have a 10-3 lead. Not an unfamiliar position for the Patriots to be in, trailing and having to come from behind. But Zach Wilson finds Tyler Conklin for a touchdown. It was evident right away they missed Breece Hall, but they were able to work James Robinson into their plans, into their offense right away. And it was a tough 2nd quarter for New England. Mac Jones starting. We knew that as soon as he was healthy, fully healthy, that was going to be the choice for Bill Belichick. They also have this long drive, 13 plays, and they only end up with a field goal. So just not capitalizing on their chances either. But after the first half, you could see a shift. And so they come out of the locker room strong, and there's a quick touchdown drive, which is kind of exactly what they needed. And it also had the added benefit of getting some of the fans off their backs there at MetLife.
Jones again in the gun. Myers to his left. Trips to the left, including motion. Stevenson. Myers motions to the right wing. Snap, low to Jones. He throws it right. Jacoby with a catch. First down,
yeah,
four.
Touchdown.
Dive to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
That's Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak on Patriots Radio. So, yes, they go quickly down the field, which I think was huge to kind of right away come out of the locker room and change the momentum, change the tone of the game. With that Jacoby Myers score, they have the lead. It's just 3 points, but then the defense is able to step up. And so New York is forced into a long field goal, right? So the Patriots' D doesn't let them get close enough to sniff the red zone. They're forced into a long field goal that is missed. Then the Patriots' D gets them to go 3 and out. And then the interceptions begin, and Zach Wilson comes unhinged.
Back to throw, Zach Wilson. Here comes the blitz. He's under pressure. Scrambles to his right. Looks downfield. Pump fakes. Fires one into traffic, and it's intercepted again. It is picked off by McCourty. He'll run to midfield, to the left sideline of the 50, inside the Jet 45, inside the 40, finally knocked out of bounds at the Jet 37-yard line. Interception number 3.
Oh, it was just bad. I mean, he came unglued. Back-to-back interceptions by Devin McCourty, by the way, who now has the most among active players, 33 career picks. And even though New York was able to tack on a late TD, really that second half was overwhelming on both sides of the ball. Now, there were 3 turnovers. The Patriots didn't take advantage of that. They only had 6 points off those 3 turnovers. And Mac Jones still a little bit out of sync, but you saw the flashes of how he was playing before he got injured. The real bright light for them, along with the defense and Devin McCourty, Ramondre Stevenson, who had 143 total yards and is really becoming a go-to, a player that Bill Belichick and Mac Jones definitely trust. And along the way, Belichick moves into second place all by his lonesome, 325 career wins as a head coach. That's second most all time behind Don Shula.
I'm able to talk about that when it's over, you know, add them up at the end here or whatever, but it's good to come down here and win. Happy for our team, and appreciate all the, you know, great players we've had that have won those games. You know, I had a couple of them in the locker room there, besides our players, you know, guys like McCourty and Slater, Mayo, Troy Brown. Those guys won a lot of games for me. So it's really, those are team wins.
Wanted to give a huge congratulations to Coach Belichick on his accomplishment. And obviously, he's done a great job here. And it's just a blessing to be able to play for him. And obviously, we don't do the whole individual awards, but that's a big one. And it's just to be his quarterback right now is just a huge blessing.
I love how Mac Jones says, obviously, we don't do individual awards here. He's so Nick Saban and Bill Belichick whenever he speaks. But yes, congratulations to Coach Belichick. This is a product of longevity and absolutely the players that he's had along the way. But it's about staying relevant. It's about figuring out a way to win when players come and go. And he's been able to do that fairly consistently. And now the Patriots, though they are in the basement of the AFC East, are back to 500. They're 4-4. And there's still opportunities there because of how crazy and how clustered the AFC is around the middle. Mac goes 24 of 35. He gets sacked 6 times. So partly on him, but partly on the O-line. And he does have a touchdown and an interception. But not quite like the giveaways of Zach Wilson, who really made some costly mistakes in this game.
I had some boneheaded plays. That second interception, I really meant to throw that ball away. Dude closed on me faster, kind of had me leave the ball inside. Can't mess with that. Got to sail it. And then the last one is just really, I really just wanted to make a play. I'm sick of coming off the field, and I can't do that. You know, put my defense in a bad situation there.
Well, he always has to play better. There's the point is, as soon as you step on the field, you have to play better. Yeah, but you know, he's got to play better. We got to find ways to help. The self-inflicted wounds are what we got to get cleaned up, because they're going to make it hard enough. We just don't need to compound it by making mistakes that help them.
We try to spread around our misery and mortification on a Monday, and I don't think the Jets have been in our poll until now, but they do have a spot because this was rough. It was the 13th straight loss by the Jets to Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Now, it's not on Robert Saleh or Zach Wilson, all of it, but of course, there have been some pretty painful losses even since those two got to town. Along with the Jets, well, the Lions are in our poll. They were taking on the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. So to round out the AFC East, we'll get to Miami. Tua's second start since returning from the concussion. And while we're talking about the NFC North, can't ignore the first place team. I seriously wanted to troll Twitter and football fans on Twitter and throw Kirk Cousins' name out there for a dark horse MVP just for fun. People would go crazy over that, but they are in first place, and you are what your record says you are. So check out our poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page, and what you're looking for on Facebook is Homer shrinking into the hedge. It's a dead giveaway that it's a Monday, because sometimes that's how we feel, right? Maybe it's us wanting to go back under the covers, but Homer shrinking into a hedge, and that works just as well. Hi to me! Good morning to you. Happy Halloween. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s.
Goff takes the direct snap, turns with a flag down, gives to Jamal into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. His second of the day.
Third down and six. Tua out of the shotgun. In goal. In the backfield with him. Trips to the left. Gesicki to the right. Back to throw. Flipping it downfield. Wide open. Waddle! Touchdown! Perfect throw and catch and Waddle.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
The Lions rushed out to a 14-0 lead at home against the Dolphins on Sunday, but Miami rallies three straight scoring drives to have a double-figure lead by halftime, and then coming out of the second half with two more scoring drives. So I like the way that we saw major steps forward from Tua's first start. Remember, his first game back from the concussion protocol, the Dolphins didn't score in the second half last week. And after a bit of a slow start here and spotting the Lions two scores, they're able to methodically not only chip away and erase the lead, but then push the envelope and continue sticking to their game plan. Not reacting to what their opponent is doing, but dictating. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Late third quarter, they're able to cap what was a really impressive run that they started in the first half. And again, the way that Tua played in this game, so much better than his first game back. I think we saw flashes of a Tua who's not nervous, not anxious, even though people around him are nervous for his health.
With 30 seconds left in this third quarter, Dolphins trail by three. They trailed by 10 at the end of the first half. Waddle comes into the backfield with Mostert and Tua out of the shotgun. Back to throw now. Looking, throws it. Touchdown, Miami, Mike Gesicki. And the Dolphins have their first lead in this football game. An 11-yard touchdown, Gesicki's fourth of the year.
All the way back. They came all the way back. So with about 12 seconds to go in the third quarter, that's Jimmy Cefalo on Dolphins radio. Yes, the 11-yard touchdown strike from Tua to his tight end. But you know what? That go-ahead drive also included a Tua scramble for a third down conversion. It wasn't a designed run. It was a scramble. And he was able to convert it. And we heard him talk about this week, his family, his wife, his teammates, friends, maybe not teammates, but friends, concerned for him. Are you sure you want to keep doing this? And he talked about the special passion he has for football, talked about the connection with his teammates, and you could see it come together against Detroit. And yes, you can make fun of the Lions defense. That's totally fine. But the fact is you play the hand that you're dealt. And on Sunday, the Dolphins were on the road against the Lions. There were some unbelievable numbers in this game. Even as Detroit is going scoreless in the second half, they only have the ball three times. How about that? This was such a dominant performance in the second half by the Dolphins that really Detroit had very few opportunities. Nearly 500 total yards for Miami, 3 for 3 in the red zone. Tua ends up with three touchdowns, though he does have a fumble. Tyreek Hill doesn't get into the end zone, but has 12 catches for 188 yards.
I feel like we can be light years better, you know, and that starts with me, you know, being the leader of this, you know, young receiver group, you know, preaching to the guys that we got to get in and out of the huddle faster. You know, we got to do the small things right. You know, we all want to make plays. We all want to, you know, be in the spotlight, you know, but we got to we got to make sure that we do, you know, the small things by getting out of the huddle, you know, making sure that we're set so Tua can go through all of his reads. So once we, you know, get that clear, you know, we start working on those small things, I feel like we'll be exactly where we want to be.
They get excited when their stats are high because they know how much they've contributed to that. And we had a bunch of, key plays from Mike Gesicki, Trent Sherfield, you know, Raheem Mostert, and then, you know, the play that Tua had today, that's if we can get that every week, that's a winning formula. That is tough to stop.
I think Mike did a great job calling plays today. He put us in really good position to get yards after catch on plays, trying to move the spot for the defenders, D linemen to, you know, get in the back there. You know, I think for as much as we passed with, what, maybe two sacks that we had, I mean, that's a really good job. A lot of things married with you know, routes, action passes within the run game. So, you know, I think we felt really comfortable. You know, after moving the ball the first series, you know, second series, started feeling really comfortable, you know, just going with the game plan.
You hear first Tyreek Hill, then Mike McDaniel, and then Tua praising his head coach. They go 9 of 13 on third and fourth down. Yes, it was Detroit, but whatever. You find the rhythm against a professional football team. You take that win, and you run with it. So now looking at the AFC East, Bills are 6-1. Jets and Dolphins are both 5-3. Patriots are at 4-4. And when we think about the NFC North, it's the opposite. You've got one team above 500, and then you've got three teams that are below 500. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Just want to work this in because I don't think that the Vikings are getting enough credit for what they have done in this start to the season. And while I'm not going to troll you and say that the Kirk Cousins numbers are yet deserving of MVP consideration, I still say that more attention should be paid to this team. And in addition to that, I think that Kevin O'Connell, who has clearly changed the culture and at least made the team competitive, at the very least made the team competitive, he needs to have the same credit that Brian Daboll is getting. He needs to have the same type of credit for the team starting out and coming together and being able to perform the way that they are. And so, yeah, it's not perfect, but they have a lot of weapons as well. So the Vikings taking on the Cardinals, and Arizona actually pulled within 4 points on DeAndre Hopkins' first touchdown of the season. This came late in the second quarter, but it's really a wild third quarter with a ton of swings, which I think were really interesting. And so in the third quarter alone, there were 27 points scored, and it's a great back and forth. Even though the Cardinals have a record below 500, I love what we saw from them. And I love the fact that Minnesota uses its defense to turn into offense. So after a Kyler interception in a good spot.
Second and goal from the 7, 17-14 Cardinals, Thielen in motion. Handoff goes to Madison up the middle, and he plows for a touchdown! Alexander Madison gives the Vikings a 20-17 lead. Drager in motion to the left, shotgun, handoff, Dalvin up the middle. He's in the end zone! 27-17, and they get a touchdown off the hitman's pick.
So I love the way that Paul Allen phrases it. Minnesota is able to get a 75-yard drive and is that pulls them within striking distance. And once Kyler throws the interception, he's picked off by Harrison Smith. Then there is this quick drive, short field, and Dalvin Cook then punches it in. And if you were watching the game, you kind of see how once they got into the red zone specifically, they were really able to rely upon that run game and the offensive line to the point where even Kirk Cousins had a rushing touchdown in this game. So, yeah, there's a lot to like about what Minnesota is doing in this start to the season in which they are 6-1. And I think the tools that they've got so many different weapons on offense. The fact that they are able to use the run game, right? But they also have Justin Jefferson, who can set up these short yardage situations. They have Adam Thielen. They have Irv Smith. So a variety of options and looks that the Vikings can throw at their opponents. And they do this. They keep the Arizona Cardinals off balance. And even though late the Cardinals were able to pull within two, Minnesota responds yet again and has a fourth quarter touchdown that puts the game out of reach. So, yeah, I think Kevin O'Connell deserves more credit, but the same kind of credit that's being given to Brian Daboll for turning the Giants around.
The feeling you get on our sideline, in our locker room, no matter what the circumstances are, I do feel like these guys believe in each other. They believe in what we're doing, and ultimately they believe that we're one play away from being where we want to be if the momentum maybe isn't on our side. And that's a proud feeling for a coach because when you know these guys are feeling that, you know you have a chance to overcome a lot of the adversity that's out in front of us to where we want to get to.
173 rushing yards, which is a nice balance because they were at times trailing and yet didn't panic and start throwing the ball all over the place. So they have an Alexander Mattison TD on the ground, 7 yards. Dalvin Cook, 4 yards. And then how about this? Kirk Cousins actually runs for the longest touchdown of the day. 17-yard run for him and the Vikings, and that was their first score. But he said his offensive line was giddy.
I had no idea how much it means to the O linemen when I run. They said it was just a big deal to them. I didn't realize that. If I had known that, maybe I'd run more. So for some reason, they really liked it. Garrett,
sure,
I think, said it
idea.
Was the greatest thing he's ever seen in the locker room after the game, which I thought was a bit of hyperbole, but maybe not. Yeah, I mean, they're right there in the end zone, just their reaction. They just were, for some reason, really happy, really proud of it.
See? Kirk Cousins got the support of his teammates. This is just one of those games where I wanted to see the Vikings get pushed, and they were. And they responded, and they can beat you a variety of ways on both sides of the ball. So this is huge for the Vikings. They continue to make major steps forward, even if right now they're not getting much credit at all. They are on top of the NFC North, the only winning team. And how about this? In the NFC, you've got, of course, the Eagles, who are 7-0, and then three teams that have 6 wins. Cowboys, Giants, Vikings. One team in the entire NFC that has 5 wins. That's the Seahawks. They could be the surprise of the NFL season to this point. And man, what a night for Tyler Lockett. The best of times and the worst of times. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s,
what makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The After Hours Podcast.
Gonna throw again on first down. Pump fake. Gonna throw deep. Got a man in the corner. It is Lockett. Touchdown, Seahawks. What a drive led by Geno Smith. Tyler Lockett was not gonna let this one get away. He hung on 33 yards out, and the Seahawks go on top 19-13. Now Tyler has passed Darryl Jackson for third place on the Seahawks all-time receiving list of touchdowns with 48. Congratulations to number 16.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Steve Rabel on Seahawks Radio. There is the story behind the story for Tyler Lockett and this battle between two teams with winning records. I didn't realize it because there's always a plethora of storylines regardless of records, but this was the only game on Sunday between two teams with winning records, and you all made it a very close race for the After Hours Game of the Week. Bills-Packers won by a nose in front. Rams-Niners was your second choice, but separated by mere percentage points, your third option. Seahawks and Giants, and why not? Both incredible stories. Long before Tyler Lockett hauled in that touchdown pass, the 33-yard variety, he fumbled what was almost a touchdown in the first half. That led to a Giants TD. Saquon Barkley, easy scamper into the end zone. And then early in the third quarter, Lockett lets another sure touchdown pass smack him in the face mask and go through his hands. And he was distraught on the sidelines. Everybody was going up to him to try to console him and encourage him. Geno Smith, DK Metcalf, his head coach, Pete Carroll. Everybody was stopping by, and you can imagine they were saying to him, hey man, you're going to get another opportunity, which he did, but still, it was hard to see him taking this on himself as a captain, as a long-tenured Seahawk. This mattered to him. It was personal.
I told him he's the best receiver I've ever seen, and, you know, you're going to do something. I can't wait. You're going to score twice. I know something's going to happen right here. Anyway, so it's no prophecy. It's just loving the kid up because he is who he is, and an amazing player. Because I know he took it hard. He was disappointed. You know, he's trying to be the leader in every. You know, he's one of the great players that ever played this game, and so he's got high expectations for himself, and I love him, and so I just, that's it. You know, just loved him up, just like he deserved.
I didn't really know if he was telling me the truth or he just wanted me to forget about the catch. I mean, it really did mean a lot to me when he said that, because it's kind of like what Sanjay says, like if we have a bad day, DK was doing it today too. He'll say, what you eat for breakfast? And because it just mentally takes you out of what's going on.
So you have Pete Carroll who walks over to Tyler Lockett and tells him, you're the best receiver I've ever seen. And Tyler's like, I don't know if he's being serious or not. Maybe he wasn't being sincere and was just trying to encourage me. And then DK Metcalf comes along and is like, yo, what'd you eat for breakfast? Really good stuff, actually, from our guest who joined us earlier in the show. This is you'll love this conversation. If you're intrigued by what's happening with the Seahawks, who now are 5-3 and the only team in the NFC West above 500, Pete Carroll actually spoke to the doubters for the first time publicly after this win against the Giants on Sunday. In addition, all of the behind-the-scenes stuff with Tyler Lockett is really intriguing. And guess what? Apparently, well, there's a bunch of stuff in the interview with Greg Bell, so go check it out on our podcast, afterhoursamielawrence.com. But apparently, Pete Carroll and John Schneider had no intention of trading Russell Wilson until there was one moment that changed all of that. So I encourage you. The interview is fantastic, a lot of good information. And yes, Tyler Lockett certainly thankful that they came back to him for what was that final big touchdown in the fourth.
When I dropped the pass, it was kind of one of those things where, you know, I couldn't believe I had just did that. So it was kind of frustrating, but, you know, I just had to breathe, man. That was the biggest thing. And luckily I had an opportunity just to be able to go out there and to be able to overcome it just with another play. You know, sometimes that might not even happen.
Tyler definitely sets the tone. I mean, he survived in Seattle where most of the roster has turned over. He wears the C on his jersey. And for the cameras to keep going back to him, it was worse than Mac Jones on Monday Night Football. I mean, Tyler was distraught over having dropped those two. Well, one was a fumble and one was a drop pass officially. But it's really neat to see this team come together. Geno Smith he loves playing in Seattle. Obviously, it's all coming together.
From afar, you know, when I wasn't here in Seattle, I had always admired just the atmosphere. You know, if you watch it on TV, if you ever played here as an opponent, you know, you're in awe of just how loud it is and how crazy it is. You know, it's one of those stadiums where you actually look forward to going into. And so being, you know, on the home side, it really is a blessing because we know our fans are going to make it hard on the other team every single time they come in. And also, you know, they're cheering us on and we're doing well. So, you know, obviously it gives them something to cheer for. So we just want to continue that and make sure that they're always ecstatic with our play and they're always happy and cheering us on and also making it hard on the other team.
All the people that doubt, like, you're losing, you know, you know, like, we run the ball too much, you don't understand football, and, you know, you don't, you know, you can't stay up with the new game and all that kind of stuff. That's a bunch of crap, I'm telling you. Look, we're doing fine. We're all right. So I don't mind proving it day in and day out.
He's finally willing to speak out and directly to the doubters, like you, he says. And man alive, does he burn a lot of calories? He's always striding up and down the sidelines with a purpose. I don't know where he's going, but he's just going back and forth. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Giants are in a good spot, but going into a bye, this is not what Brian Daboll was hoping. They definitely struggled in many facets of the game on Sunday.
Keep your head up. You know, we had a good week of practice. There's obviously things that happened in this game that, you know, we have to eliminate from happening, just like there is every game, whether you win or whether you lose. Come in, be consistent on Monday, make the corrections. They'll have some time off on the bye week and come back ready to go.
They're not in our Monday mortification poll, but the other New York team is, along with the Rams, the Super Bowl champions, falling victim to the new Christian McCaffrey wrinkle. Step on up, Rams, because the Niners got a little something for you. You may have seen this by now, the TD trifecta for Christian McCaffrey. But did you know that earlier in the week, Kyle Shanahan actually didn't know how well CMC could throw the ball?
I think everyone knows how good of a player he is, so I just like how consistent he is and under control in what he does. He's a very smart player, and even though he makes a lot of plays and stuff, but the consistency of how he plays his game and stuff, I feel like was a great guy to add for us. I remember Thursday night when we were doing the red zone, me yelling down the rooms, just anyone will answer, does anyone know if Christian can throw? And then Brian Fleury emailed or sent through text a video of him throwing like a 53-yarder a few years ago. So when I saw that, I felt he could throw, and we repped in a practice the next day, and he did throw good then and threw great today.
He threw one, he rushed for one, he caught one. And for the first time since LaDainian Tomlinson in 2005, Christian McCaffrey has what they call the TD trifecta. He's been a Niner for a week and a half. Pretty amazing. But you know what? He's not the only guy who had three touchdowns on Sunday. Tony Pollard filling in for Ezekiel Elliott. I love the way he makes the most of his opportunities when he's called on. Pollard with three rushing touchdowns. We also saw A.J. Brown haul in three TDs from Jalen Hurts. And man, the Eagles didn't even need to get into the red zone. They were just chunking it all over the field. Chunk yardage plays against the Steelers early and often. There were a ton of those. Who else? Oh, Alvin Kamara. As the Saints shut out the Raiders, he had three touchdowns days after delivering a speech calling for the rest of the team to get their swag back. And, of course, Andy Dalton takes over there. We had Sam Ellinger starting for the Colts. We had, let's see, in that same game, Taylor Heinicke leading a late scoring drive to bring the Commanders all the way back. They've won three in a row. We also saw Malik Willis take over for the Titans, but come on, let's be honest. We knew this was Derrick Henry's show. He goes over 200 yards with a couple of touchdowns, and I think remembering the box score, the Titans only asked Malik to even try 10 passes because Derrick Henry loves to face the Houston Texans. So those are just some of your storylines. There's plenty of misery and mortification to go around in the NFL waking up on this Monday. So check out the poll, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. We didn't have any time to talk about the World Series, but we will when it resumes tonight. Game three, they're split, and they're in Philadelphia. Do you remember what's happened the last two series when it was tied going back to Philadelphia? It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about, Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s,